It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
Send them all to their maker and he'll settle on down.
So I gotta explain to Pastor K now, that is not the music I meant to come in with, but it is Toby Keith, and Toby Keith on a Good Friday, I mean, really?
What's this? I can't even hear what he's
saying. It's called Beer for My Horses, by Toby Keith, but I was playing it yesterday, for some reason it was queued up, and I thought we had Born Free, of course, by Kid Rock, but we don't, so I digress, right?
Okay.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. Friday, April 3rd, 2026, if it doesn't mean anything to you, it does to me. Right?
It does to me.
What does it mean to you?
Everything.
Good Friday.
Yes.
Well, to me, it's my birthday, but that's secondary to Good Friday this year, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's on Easter, my birthday, that is. Uh-huh. Not Good Friday, of course. One year, she's chuckling now. I was texting my sister. I said, I'm going to tell the falling cake story on the air. Now, mind you, I might get a little twisted and wrong, okay, because I was about 4, maybe 5 years old, and my birthday was on Easter that year. And my sister Sharon, who's still with us, by the way, if I'm 62, she's 72, she decided to bake a cake. And this was in 1968, mind you, or 69, where you had to really do it from scratch, right? You didn't just go buy Betty Crocker. And so I guess you had to, you could probably correct me on this because you probably know, Pastor K, but the cake had to have time to rise. Is that right?
Maybe in the old days.
Yeah, this is the old days. We're talking about 1968. It had to rise. And she was making an Easter bunny cake. So I don't know how it looked, what she was doing, whatever, but don't slam any doors, little brother. Just don't slam any doors. What did I do? It's like telling someone, don't do this, don't do that, and they do it. I slammed a door. Apparently, the cake fell. It was a mess, and you know, I was in the rabbit house or the dog house or what have you. So it's kind of an old, I guess you had to be there story. But yeah, I got yelled at and got my butt swatted pretty good from what I understand. So I ruined the Easter birthday cake one year. I ruined my own cake.
Wow.
So what are you going to do? Anyway, I love my big sissy. She's the bomb. And, yep, still with us. And, she's been ill for a number of years. If there's anything you can do to help, Pastor K, I know you have a really unique relationship with God.
If she's listening right now, I could pray for her.
I believe she is.
Okay. Well, Father God, we lift Sharon up to you right now. We speak the life of God into every cell of her body. We speak death to the cancer cells, and we speak life to her cells. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. She says, and I don't remember saying your name was Sharon, but okay.
You did.
I did. I guess I did. Happy, happy birthday, my little bro. Get your cake face on anyway. The Lord will forgive you, me thanks. She talks like me, too. Because I type like that. I'll say me thinks, right?
Yeah.
So you say today is everything.
It is.
What do you mean by that?
Because if Jesus hadn't gone to the cross for us, we would be headed for hell. Good people, bad people.
There you go.
Whoever you are. Because we can't be good enough. Because the Bible says none could be righteous, no, not one. So none of us are good enough to get to heaven. So Jesus, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to carry all of our sin, nail it to a cross, put it to death. That was our sins nailed to the cross. All we got to do is believe it, receive it, appropriate it to our own lives by faith. And we have everlasting life. He that believes, all you got to do is believe. Give your life to Jesus. Let him live through you. He wants to live through you. Resurrection life. So it's the best weekend of the year. Because he not only died on the cross, but he rose again. And he lives for each one of us. And each one of us can have him in our lives if we just invite him.
Now, in the Catholic faith, on Good Friday, and they say now if you're over 60, you don't have to do this because of medications or whatever. But the Catholics fast on Good Friday. Did you know this?
I probably forgot that. I used to be Catholic.
Well, somebody just brought me a giant order. You saw it, of Mexican food.
And
right?
It's your birthday.
It wasn't just somebody. It was Wayne. Well, I think he brought it because it was my birthday. Not really. I am Catholic, and I was eating. I don't observe that part of my faith, but a lot of people do. Why is that? Is it the sacrifice part of it?
Yeah, they want to identify with his suffering, I would think.
Okay, that makes sense. And then tell me about Palm Sunday. You know, this past Sunday was Palm Sunday, right before Easter Sunday. It's a special, I don't know about observance. I wouldn't say celebration, but an observance.
Right.
What is Palm Sunday about?
It's about they're all for Jesus. Yay, he's the king. Hallelujah. The same people. When somebody stirred up the crowd to crucify him, jumped right on that bandwagon and were shouting, crucify him. It's hard for me to grasp. So Palm Sunday to me is like, I don't know, you know?
Do you call it Easter Sunday or do you call it Resurrection Day?
I normally call it Resurrection Day because to me, it's resurrection life. I had not much of a life before Jesus.
Tell me about your life before Jesus.
My life before Jesus. Okay, I was raised without Jesus. I was raised in a home that was very abusive. My father was a very abusive alcoholic in every way. And we didn't go to church. Mom took us to the Catholic church a couple times, like special holidays, because that's where she came from. My father had been raised Methodist. I guess they didn't agree because we didn't go anywhere. And I always knew there was a God out there somewhere, and I needed him in my life because my life was a mess. But I didn't know how to get him into my life. And somebody invited me to church when I was 28 years old. And I went to this church, and they're talking about they're going to have counseling classes. And I said, wonderful. I want to counsel young people because there was nobody there for me. I want to be there for them. So I signed up for these classes. And here these classes are preparing people for revival, preparing people to lead people to Jesus at the altar. So I memorized the scriptures. So when the revivalists came and shared the gospel and emanated the love of Jesus, I ran to that altar when they gave the invitation. I was the first one, and 100 people came to the Lord that week in a town of 800.
Oh, my.
I was the first. I turned around. They were coming so fast. I turned around and started leading them to Jesus because I had memorized those scriptures. Is that awesome?
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love hearing your stories. You tell me so many stories that travels around the world and that, and the children, that are, what was that, the Congo?
No, that one,
Nigeria?
I went to Congo, that was rough. But that was in Tanzania.
Tanzania.
Yeah.
Just tell that story, remind the listeners.
That's my favorite story.
That's one of mine too.
So I was invited to go to Tanzania to be an international conference speaker. So I put in my very best clothes. I get to Tanzania, and my luggage did not. And so every morning, I'm trying to track my luggage to no avail. And so finally, one morning, I woke up, and I heard the Lord. He sings over me, and I get these little ditties from him. Uh-huh. And I heard him saying, get a grip, get a grip, get a grip on joy. Get a grip on life. And I thought, oh. So I repented of putting too much emphasis on the clothes. And I said, God, just let me do whatever you sent me here to do. Now, every day I'm looking out my hotel window, and across the road is this school of a whole bunch of kids running around. I said, get me into that school, because I could tell most of them were Muslim.
Okay.
And so that morning that I repented and said, you can have my clothes, God. If you want my clothes, you can have my clothes. And so, isn't that a funny picture? God in my clothes.
I don't know yet.
So anyway, so we go down to breakfast immediately after that, and this man came up and said, anything I can do to help you this morning? And I said, yes, tell me how I can get into that school across the street and talk to those children. So he said, I'll go find out. I didn't know he was the hotel manager, but he was. He went over and asked. 15 minutes later, he called me and he said, this is their last day of school, and they're very busy, but if you can come at 11 o'clock, he'll give you 30 minutes. I said, I'll be there.
That's all I need. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I said to the hotel manager, what can I take these children? Normally we take them candy. He said, a pencil. They've never owned a pencil. None of them have ever owned their own pencil.
How many kids?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So I'm thinking there's probably 500, so I buy 500 pencils. And as I'm walking across the street, I say, God, what do you want me to tell them? He said, tell them about David and Goliath. Okay. So I get in there and I get into that story. I'm Goliath, and then I'm David. And the children are moving closer because there was no smile on one child, none, on any child. But they're moving closer to the story. And then at the end of that story, I said, you want to know how David could be used so mightily for his nation? It's because he talked to God and he listened to God. So when he came up against Goliath, he was ready. How many of you would like to be used for your nation? There were 900 children.
Oh, my.
They all raised their hand. Uh-huh. So then I told them how they could have Jesus in their lives to empower them, fill them with his power, and use them mightily. How many would like to ask Jesus into their heart? 900 children raised their hand and prayed the prayer through my interpreter, the hotel manager, every one of them, and their countenance suddenly changed. I literally saw it. I have pictures of it. No expression to pure joy.
Wow.
Yes. 900 children.
That's not something you forget.
Never. In fact, that hotel manager called me and said, when are you coming back? Those children want you back. And I said, do you really think it made that much of an impact? And he said, oh, you'll never know. He said, they never knew joy before you came. And they never saw love before you came.
Wow.
That's Jesus.
An excellent story.
Isn't it?
Yes, yes. By the way, Pastor Kay Zimmerman is from, let me make sure I got this right, City on a Hill International Church.
That's correct.
Boom! Nailed
yes,
it. Where is your church?
It's on Sandwood Drive, 2091 Sandwood
okay,
Drive.
Perfect. I'm going to take a short break. Later on in the show, we have Rabbi Mendel Super. He's not coming in, though, folks. He will not be here. I told you the story, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
We recorded him about a week and a half ago. And Mendel, he's funny, you have to mention that we recorded this. I said, why? He goes, because it's Passover when the show airs, and I don't want people to think that I'm not observing the Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's a bad thing. He says, I'll get fired. How do you fire a rabbi?
I don't know.
It's a really, really interesting interview. In fact, I was editing it about an hour ago, so... there you have it. He's from Shabbat. Is that how you say it? Shabbat of Lake Havasu. Yes. So, absolutely. I know. Anyway, we'll be back with that after the bottom of the hour, but I'll come back in a moment. I wanted to play this song by Elvis, Green, Green Grass at Home. It was one of my mother's favorites. And Easter was, I think it was my mother's favorite holiday, if I remember right. So, this song played at her service years ago. It's probably over 25 years ago. So anyway, just wanted to play that. Good Friday is like my edge of the envelope of my comfort zone show, because I'm not super religious, as you know. I'm very inappropriate, even sometimes around you, Pastor K, right? For which I apologize.
No, she says no. I'm not religious either. I just love Jesus.
Spiritual.
And love people.
Yes, absolutely. So back with more in a moment, and we're going to take a short break. We'll come back with Pastor K. Zimmerman from City on a Hill International Church on this Good Friday edition of Speak Out. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Then I awake and look around me. Tall gray walls surround me, and I realize I was only dreaming.
Welcome back to Speak Out, this Good Friday edition. And wow, talk about a coincidence or fate or something. Tell the audience what you told me.
Oh, I told him that when I was saved at 28 years old, that was the first Christian music that I bought, was Elvis's album, because I loved Elvis.
And I had no idea.
No.
I just picked the Elvis after, you know, How Great Thou Art. So, or Green Green Grass at Home. Anyway. Broadcasting from the Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. I'm kind of blown away by that. That's almost more than a coincidence, right?
God incident.
It's a God incident? Is that what you said? That's a good one. Speak Out brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And, boy, the power of the Lord, right?
That's right.
Generated a phone call. Did you know that?
Oh, he has?
Yeah, we have a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, drummer dude, it's Horn Dude.
Hey, what's going on, sax man? What are you doing?
Hey, well, I just wanted to, first of all, wish you happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
And let you know that when you were born, I'd already been playing for 2 years.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Anyways, but the other thing that I wanted to share with you as well is what the pastor said, is she's not religious. And I've always said that. I'm not religious. I just have a strong faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And what changed, what helped me change was when I went to Promise Keepers in Angel Stadium many, many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, there were 60,000 guys there, and boy, did I see a lot of hearts change. And, it was pretty amazing. And then I did a lot of the, events that Greg Laurie did in Anaheim Stadium as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, people have said to me, oh, you're one of these religious guys. And I said, no, I'm not religious at all. I just have a strong faith in God.
That's right. There's a difference.
I like that.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
There definitely is a difference. And when you understand that, it helps with your journey. So.
That's right.
People
can say they're
good
religious.
Good show, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, good show.
We do it once
good
a year.
Show, buddy.
It's Good Friday.
Yeah, right,
I always
right,
do.
Right.
No, I always do a Good Friday show. I have for many years.
Yeah.
It pushes the envelope of comfortability for me. So, you know, it's not a world I spend a lot of time in, but I do believe that life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. So thank you very much.
Hey, you bet. Give away them tickets.
Oh, I will. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me. I appreciate that. No, seriously, a half of them
are
right here, don't I, Pastor Kay?
Yes.
And she doesn't lie, so there
yep.
you go. All right.
All right, man. Thanks.
You're
Talk
welcome.
See you later.
Thank you. All
Bye.
Right. And, yeah, don't forget, April 12th, that is a week from this Sunday, is the final concert for the Lake Havasu Symphonic Winds season, this season. And it's the America 250 season will be held on Sunday, April 12th, 3 p.m., Lake Havasu High Performing Arts Center. Give me a call. We're going to have a recorded segment coming up, and I can actually take calls during that segment. I can use a speakerphone on that. So go ahead and give me a call if you want tickets. They are $10 at the door, and the tickets are available at Sound, I think at Sound Bank, if I remember right, or at the door. So anyway, I want to wish you a good Friday, Pastor Kay. You have a service
Thank
after
you.
This?
No, not today.
Not today?
But we'll have an exciting Resurrection Day service at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock on Easter morning or Resurrection Day.
Resurrection
Day. I like having you on because you offer the best prayers. Not the best, but you offer very good prayer. I've had Farron on the show. I've had a number of pastor from Calvary. Pastor Chad.
Uh-huh.
I've had him on the show, Pastor Chad Garrison. And have you on the show, of course. You were really short notice. I thought you had been reserved like 2 weeks ago. And I called and you didn't, but you didn't have any plans either.
No.
Imagine that, right?
Right.
So anyway, if you could give us a blessing for this Good Friday and Easter or Resurrection
Oh,
Day.
I'd love to do that. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for every listener. I lift every listener up to you, oh God. And I pray that you would reveal yourself to every single one of them. Reveal your awesome, awesome love that you died for each one of them. And all we have to do is agree with that, believe it, and ask you into their lives, and they can have you. And God, Resurrection Day, you're alive. You not only died on the cross, but you're alive, and you offer life to us every day. You offer life, eternal life, which is life which begins the very moment that you say yes to Jesus. He comes in and fills you full of his life, and he wants to live through you. He wants to do great things through you, every listener. So I would encourage you to reach out to him today, and I thank you, God, that you will cause them, God, to open their hearts to you and just say, come on in, Jesus. I receive you today. In Jesus' name, it's as simple as that, to forgive us for our sins and come in and live big in and through us. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your awesome life that you offer us. This would be the greatest celebration you've ever had if it's the first time you celebrate him as a believer. It will be the greatest Resurrection Day and Good Friday you ever had. So I just thank you, Lord, for doing it now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kay
You're
Zimmerman.
Welcome.
All right. Coming up next, we'll have Rabbi Mendel Super. And he's from Chabad of Lake Havasu. And I need to mention, I always say be like Wayne. Wayne brought me food this morning. Talk about a great birthday present, right? From Los Chiquis Restaurant over on Swanson Restaurant Row, if you want to call it that, across from Movies Havasu. Really good chips so far, right? I haven't tried the food yet. Pastor Kay's off mic right now, but bless you. Thank you so much. Okay, and we'll come back with that segment in a moment. It is recorded, so do not call, but you can call for the live concert series tickets for, of course, Symphonic Winds, who is playing on. Thank you. Happy Resurrection Day to you as well. And it's Sunday, April 12th. You still have time next week to call in for tickets, but you can get some tickets right now. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us. Here's some more Elvis.
My Savior God, to thee how great thou art.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
And welcome back to Speak Out on this Good Friday, a very special show today. And I've had him as a guest before, but I thought today was so appropriate because Passover is going on at the same time as Easter this year. It's an overlap. And I have to mention that this is recorded. Again, I'm going to mention it over and over and over again, and he has a joke about this. So Rabbi Mendel Super is here from Chabad of Lake Havasu. Welcome back.
Thank you, Paul, and you pronounced Chabad perfectly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. There's a future for me in this business then.
Definitely.
I love it. Tell me why we wanted to make the announcement that it's recorded, it's recorded, it's recorded.
So on Jewish holidays and on the Jewish Sabbath, Jews traditionally are not only in synagogue and with our families, but we also avoid doing certain forms of what's called forbidden labor. And part of that is driving, watching TV, being on a radio show. So we're pre-recording this before the holiday.
How tough is that for the Jewish youth who may not be able to get on Facebook or social media, cell phone, something? Can you do that?
We don't, and I think it's one of the biggest blessings that the Jewish Sabbath has brought to the world as a digital detox, something that, you know, wasn't known or appreciated in the times of Moses, but today I think is very important for people of all kinds, you know, just 24 hours, 48 hours, you know, don't refresh Facebook. See if you can do that.
I love that. Trust me, I love it. So let's go back a little ways. You're not from America, which is interesting. You sound like you're from New York City. You have that accent.
I spent several years in New York City, but I'm born and raised in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. Tell me how you got to the United States.
Well, when I was 17, I left Australia for Israel to start my studies to become a rabbi. And after 2 years of Israel, I wound up in New Jersey. I transferred to the Rabbinical College of America in Morristown, New Jersey. I spent time there. I spent time in Florida. I spent time in Brooklyn, New York. In 2020, my wife and I got married. And in late 2022, we moved here to serve this Jewish community as the first resident rabbi here in a very long time.
So very little I know about the Jewish faith, but I do know what the Sabbath is, and I do know a few of the traditions, like sitting Shiva, mm-hmm. for example. I'm a Catholic boy, okay? Did you get the calling to be a rabbi? Is it something that your father was a rabbi? Is it something that's in your family?
It is in my family. Some of my siblings are rabbis. My father is an ordained rabbi. He doesn't practice as one, but he did his rabbinical ordination. You know, it's something, it's a big focus in the specific Jewish community. I come from the Chabad community.
Okay.
Is, you know, reaching out to other Jews and serving, you know, Jews all around the world, specifically, you know, underserved Jewish populations like here, where until recently, if you wanted anything Jewish, you had to go to Phoenix or Vegas. So it's a big part of what we do. And I was really raised that way. We know, raised with a goal to serve my people.
Let's talk about Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the 8 days of Passover.
So Passover this year starts on April 1st, and it goes through April 9th. So it begins with sundown on April 1st. So that is the Seder night. Many people are familiar with the Seder. We have a lot of matzah. We have 4 cups of wine. Fantastic Passover meal. Some people wish they could be Jewish just for that. But always tell people you do not have to be Jewish to enjoy brisket. And brisket, of course, is one of the big draws of many Passover Seders. Mm-hmm. And of course, I will invite anyone, if you are a member of the Jewish faith, please send me a message, give me a call. You can find us online, Chabad of Lake Havasu City, and reserve your seat for the community Seder today. You don't have to be affiliated. As long as you're Jewish, we have a seat for you. So Passover celebrates the liberation of the Jewish people from Egypt. The Jews, in times of Jacob and his descendants came to the land of Egypt. There was a famine, as the Bible tells us. And God had already told Abraham before that his descendants would be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And after 210 years of very harsh, bitter exile and slavery in Egypt, God has a young Moses. God talks to Moses at the burning bush, and God tells Moses that he's going to free the Jewish people. and Moses comes and tells them that it's time to go. And of course, it doesn't go that smoothly, like nothing in life does. There's right. the 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh and the Egyptians to let those Jews go. And finally, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh's had enough, and he says, please just get out of my land, leave Egypt. And they do that. And that's the holiday of Passover. Passover, in a sense, is really the birth of the Jewish people. So if we have the Jewish people today, hopefully most of your listeners think that's a good thing that we're still around, then that's because of Passover. Otherwise, we would have been just a little Hebrew tribe lost in Egypt for good. Going out of Egypt brought us to Mount Sinai, where we received the Torah, the Bible, and that's really the bedrock of our Western civilization today.
I always think of the Jewish faith as a very peaceful religion, but you don't get that from a lot of other people. It's like karate. You're always defending yourself. You're not the aggressor, correct?
Unfortunately, we're often called to defend ourselves. It's not a new thing. People often talk about the recent rise or uptick in anti-Semitism,
yes.
But it's it's really, really not a new thing. That's how we got enslaved in Egypt in the first place. So it goes way back, and it's been part of our story for a very long time.
We've talked a little bit about this on social media and that, and I'm a defender of the Jewish faith till the end, because I'm sorry, but when there's a jihad against Jews, then once finished with the Jews, they're coming after the Catholics and every other Christian on the planet. So to me, it's a common enemy, those people that are against us. But do you see that kind of persecution personally, either here in Lake Havasu or outside of Havasu?
I thank God Havasu is, much safer than, I would say, than the big cities you'd see.
Why is that? Do people understand more?
I mean, I think there's less people here. You have more people, you've just got a lot more crazy people with, strange views and ideas. And we have less of that here. I would love to say that it's zero. I can't. But I do feel much safer to be a Jew in Havasu than I would pretty much anywhere else right
but
now.
But you still get some sort of...
We do get it. I look obviously very visibly Jewish. If you see me walking
yes.
down the street, you can't mistake me for anything but a Jew.
And nobody else is wearing yarmulke around you, right?
Yeah, and I'm very, very proud of that. Occasionally, I might get a comment, some positive comments, of course, and sometimes less positive comments. But we take it in stride.
Folks, I don't understand that. It's like Mendel and I were talking before the show about the Bible. I don't understand why your people hate on Jews. You wrote the Bible.
If I knew the reason, I'd probably win like the Nobel Peace Prize or something.
Really, there's no reason. It's like the Hatfields and McCoys almost.
It's a very, very ancient hatred, and it takes on different forms. At one point, the Jews were accused of being the communists, and then the Jews were accused of being the capitalists. The Jews are accused of being leeches on society and parasites, or were accused of controlling society. It's this one kind of sickness that just manifests in very different ways in different places in different times.
What cures that? Education? Or do you cure it? What do you do to fight against that? Let love rule, in my opinion.
It's a really good question. For the decades after the Holocaust, so much Jewish money has gone towards education, to building another Holocaust museum to show people what happens when the hatred of Jewish people goes unchecked. But I don't know if we've really seen the dividends paying off from all that education. It doesn't really seem to help. I tell people that I'm not responsible for anti-Semitism. I'm the Jewish guy here. My job in life is not fighting anti-Semitism. I think it's a noble goal, and I think people who have, if someone thinks they have a solution for it, by all means. My job is to be a proud Jew and to encourage other Jews to be proud of who they are. If we as the Jewish people, if we devote all our time and resources and brain space to fighting anti-Semitism, there wouldn't be anyone left to be Jewish. And then what are we fighting for?
I got you. Let's get back to Passover, mm-hmm. the topic of the day, so to speak. So what does Passover mean to you personally, besides the Sabbath, besides the food and that, what does it mean to Mendel Super, Rabbi Mendel Super?
For me, Passover is a time of, obviously, of liberation, when we, and especially something we can appreciate here in this country, is the freedom of religion that we're blessed with, something that many of my, most of my ancestors, for most of history, they didn't know those words, freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. But that's what Passover celebrates. And for me personally, here in our community, Passover is really a time when the community comes together. People who sometimes don't come to anything else, you know, no other services or you know, educational programs or holidays, people really do come to Passover. Passover's been just a, it's come to be a time for a family and for community, almost like no other holiday. Matzah is the main thing that we eat on Passover, and matzah has its haters and its lovers, but I don't know anyone who celebrates Passover just because they absolutely love that half-burnt, crunchy matzah. But we still do it. You know, there are surveys that say, sure, that Passover is more observed by Jews than any other holiday.
Do you observe, when you eat the different plates and that, you keep everything kosher?
Yeah, in my house, in our synagogue, we... I mean,
that sounds like a silly question, but...
Yeah, everything is kosher all year round, but Passover has its own special rules called kosher for Passover.
Oh, really?
Which is a lot more strict than, you know, than the regular. So normally, obviously, we're not mixing milk and meat and things like that, things that are biblically prohibited. But
sure,
on Passover, we're also told to abstain from leavened food. So leavened is anything, any mixture of... any of the grains like wheat, barley, and oat, and so on, spelt, that came into contact with water and then started to ferment.
Oh.
So matzah is that flat cracker. It's made of wheat and water. That's only two ingredients. It's rolled very thin, uh-huh, and then it's put straight into the oven. It doesn't have any time to rise. Bread, on the other hand, is the same thing. It's flour and it's water, but it's got yeast there, or sourdough, and it started to leaven.
Gotcha.
And that's the difference. And so on Passover, we're told to avoid anything that has leaven. So it's not just bread, but with modern food manufacturing, it's present in so many things. So we're very careful about that. And there's really a beautiful lesson in the matzah. So we keep kosher all year. So if bread is no good on Passover, if there's something wrong with it, why is it okay the rest of the year? And the answer lies in the difference between the bread and the matzah and what they represent. When the Jews are leaving Egypt, spiritually, they're in a very, very fragile place. They're coming from Egyptian culture, which is a culture of idolatry and a depraved morality, and now they're free. And that is, you got no one in charge of you besides for yourselves now, and now you're on this journey to Mount Sinai, where you're going to accept the Torah, the Bible, the Word of God. And that is such a fragile place to be in. And the most damaging thing that can happen then is ego. And ego is represented by bread. The difference between the matzah and the bread is the bread rises like that puffed up ego. So it represents that we have to, at that crucial, pivotal moment, we have to be really careful not to let our own egos get in the way and just to follow God to Mount Sinai. But after that, after the Jewish people accept the Torah, they accept the Word of God at Mount Sinai, then, and in normal life, a little bit of ego, not too much, but a little bit, feeling your sense of self is important, and it's crucial. So, you know, obviously in moderation. So during Passover, we commemorate that incredible journey out of Egypt by eating matzah and by avoiding the leavened foods.
Okay, while we're on the topic of food, when you got to Havasu, mm-hmm, were there a lot of kosher choices, or did you have to go out and kind of educate the stores? Hey, you know, there's a Jewish community here, too.
I have seen the kosher sections, particularly in Smith's, grow a little bit since we've come.
Nice.
But most of my kosher shopping is still done primarily in Los Angeles.
Oh, really? You have to go all the way to L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I ship it in, or I drive it in myself, you know, fill up the minivan.
Who does the cooking in your home?
Mainly my wife, but I also cook, you know, rabbis in the kitchen, and we do that. I do a little bit, yeah.
Or a podcast.
Maybe it should be a TV show. I do a little bit of that.
So what's your specialty? What do you like to cook?
I like to cook matzo balls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of our most famous foods is matzo balls, sure. Not just for Passover, but all year round. And that's one of my few specialties in the kitchen is making those perfectly round, delicious, fluffy, crunchy matzo balls.
So with your wife, are you only allowed in there a certain amount of time and then get out of my kitchen?
No, I get free reign. I think she's happy when I participate, yeah.
All right, very good, very good. And what are your plans for this Passover? You said there are intermediary days. Is that the right phrasing?
Yeah, this is the intermediate days in the middle of the holiday. So the old Jewish holidays start in the evening.
Okay.
So the evening and then the next 2 days, that is the, you know, the full-on holiday. And then you have 4 days in the middle. And then you've got the last 2 days, which are, again, a full-on holiday. And you know, different restrictions and stuff, rules apply depending on what day of the holiday it is.
What do you do personally when it's the Sabbath?
What do I do?
Yeah. You can't cut the lawn. You know, you can't really go re-roof the house or anything. You
know,
can't get on social media.
Sometimes people look at these rules and they think, oh, well, you know, how restrictive. You know, what kind of celebration is that? But really, once you withdraw from, you know, all forms of work and technology and even cutting the grass, and you start to think about more about yourself and more about God, and that's the purpose of it. It's a restriction that really allows you to have that freedom that in today's very fast-paced and very online world, that we just don't have. We're always thinking about something else. We're always working. We're, you know, even you know, you're in bed, you're in the bathroom. We're always doing something.
Sure.
And the Sabbath and the holidays really gives us that time to really think about what's really important in life. So, I mean, we're doing a lot of community things on every Sabbath and on the holidays. And a lot of, you know, good family time.
I have to admit, you're probably now my first favorite Jewish person after Larry David, right?
Okay. So,
but Larry David in this show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, he gets made fun of because this is the only day we see you at the temple, right? Is that true for a lot of Jewish people?
Yeah, I mean, different people, I guess, have different levels of observance.
Some
people will come to every single, you know, Jewish event at the synagogue and do everything at home as well, and some people, you know, will show up once a year. And I mean, there are Jews who don't show up anytime. And if we have some of those listening, and I know you are listening, I would love for you to reach out. You know, we don't. A lot of people grew up with a model that, you know, has dues and affiliations and memberships, and they say, oh, you know, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. We don't operate that way. Every Jew is welcome. There's no dues and there's no memberships. If you're Jewish, just come in through the doors, send me an email, give me a call.
Is there a particular day of the week that you observe, or is it, you know, like Sunday, Christians go to church on Sunday generally.
Right.
So it depends on what religion you are. But.
Right. So Saturday's typically a busier day at the synagogue. Jews have 3 daily prayers every day, and if you go... You know, here I don't have enough of a nucleus who is going to come to the synagogue 3 times a day. But if you go to Phoenix or Brooklyn or Jerusalem, you'll see synagogues that are open around the clock with, you know, multiple, you know, services staggered throughout the entire day.
We want to wrap this up a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, I saw online where you had dedicated some doors to the synagogue, to the Shabbat. Right.
We did replace our doors recently. That's thanks to the federal government and the state government. They have a security grant for houses of worship. For the first time in a very long time, we're able to replace those doors with something a little stronger, more secure, and also more aesthetically pleasing.
Imagine you gave it a blessing as well, right?
We have a mezuzah. We put a new mezuzah on that door. The mezuzah is a scroll in a small metal case on the doorpost, and it's a blessing. It symbolizes God's protection for everything beyond those doors.
My oldest sister was shopping for a home in Vegas, and it had that, what's it called?
Mezuzah,
and it was right there in the door frame, and she touched it. She knew right away this was the house that she was going to buy.
Oh, look at that.
Even though we're not Jewish. In Was it Yiddish? Can you give me a blessing in Yiddish for this Passover while we wrap up this interview?
There's some great blessings for Passover in Hebrew and in Yiddish.
I'll
say both because many people know both of them.
Okay.
In Hebrew, we'll say Chag Pesach Kasher V'Sameach. That means a very happy and kosher Passover. And in Yiddish, many people remember their grandparents wishing them a Zisen Pesach, which means a sweet Passover. And others like to say a Kasher und Freilichen Pesach, a kosher and happy Passover. So many, many different ways to bless it, but it all means the same.
Is it the happiest of times then, Passover, just like with Hanukkah, when you observe Hanukkah?
I mean, all our holidays are happy holidays.
Okay. Wedding sure are.
Passover is, you know, not the happiest in the hierarchy of happiness,
okay.
But it is a happy holiday. It's a joyous time.
All right. Well, have a safe and blessed, I don't know if you'd say blessed Passover.
Absolutely.
Have a safe and blessed Passover. You please take care of yourself. Watch yourself out there. And to all of our Jewish listeners, have a safe Passover as well. And have a safe and happy Easter weekend. And today, by the way, Good Friday, happens to be my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Look
well,
at
thank
that.
Thank you. How about that? Every once in a while, it's on Easter as well.
You got the trifecta today.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. So anyway, be safe, and thank you for joining us on Speak Out. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure being here.
All right, just a reminder, Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springburg Wealth Management by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College by Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And again, a very special thank you to Pastor Kay Zimmerman from City on a Hill International Church and Rabbi Mendel Super from Chabad of Lake Havasu. All right, looking forward to Monday's show. Looking forward to this weekend. Going to take in a Diamondbacks game tomorrow. The Diamondbacks and the Braves. Hopefully they fare better than last night's 17-2 annihilation. That wasn't even a drubbing, folks. You know, it's amazing what one play, which was a double play, which they lost on appeal, or actually they didn't even appeal it. The Braves appealed and won the challenge, and then it just went all downhill from there, man. 6 runs in that inning, and then 8 runs, and yeah, it was awful. So anyway, Tim from the Kingsmen will be on Monday. He's going to call in for a few minutes. Then we'll have Hospice of Havasu is coming into the studio, and Nicole Schultz will call in from Vitalant in Las Vegas. They've got a big community blood drive starting on Monday here in Havasu. All right, the king of all martial arts, that's right, Sean Hannity, up next after news and a short break. It's Karate Man. Stay with us all weekend long on KNTR Talk.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.